Good morning. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning. I'll tell you what, when we came over on Thursday night, that's when we came over, we had three gals, a baby, two dogs in the car. And just getting out of town was a huge, huge deal. My husband Phil and our sons, Christian and Creighton, are at a men's retreat this weekend, so I thought, ha, this is a good time to take the baby over to see Baba. When we finally got on the road, it was chaotic. I don't know if it's like that for you when you go on a trip, but there's so many things to take care of before you leave, and you're just running around like crazy trying to get everything, and then we're finally in the car, and we're finally on the road, and at the last minute, we put on Rain-X, which is great stuff. On the pass, we didn't even have to turn our wipers. It was raining. It was wonderful, but we got going and going. We drove a couple hours, and we stopped at a gas station in Royal City. Well, actually outside of Royal City. Does anyone know where Royal City is? Couple. Okay. Royal City is out in the middle of nowhere. It is no place. And I thought, well, okay, we grabbed a bite to eat at this gas station called Zeb's. And I thought we'd go ahead and fill up with gas. So, although I just filled up right before we left Pullman. So I filled up with gas and I sat there in awe as it was $15. $15. I'd only gone not even 2 hours. And we were out in the middle of nowhere. And it already cost $15. And I'm going, wow. You know, this is out in the middle of nowhere between Othello and Vantage, and it's definitely not a destination, and it cost me all this money, and I'm nowhere, and I haven't even had much fun yet. We've just been driving, and all that money's just gone. Now, you give us that much money at a yard sale in Port Ludlow, and we can have a good time for sure. We come over here in yard sale, but then we don't have enough room to take it all home. Anyway, I was shocked to see that it was that much money. This $3 a gallon stuff is crazy. So I was like, oh gosh, was that time, those 2 hours and $15, was that time wasted? I started thinking about this. Was that time and money wasted? Or was that time and money invested? Because I really wasn't where I was headed yet. It was time and money invested. Because I was on my way somewhere important. I was on my way to Port Ludlow. I was taking a royal journey to Grace Christian Center. It's a royal journey that we are on in this Christianity, in this Christian walk. And many times it feels like we're just spinning our wheels because we're not there yet. And I'll tell you what, when you're in the middle of the state of Washington, you're like, when are we going to get somewhere? But you still have to take a lot of time and energy and money to even get on the journey. Ever feel like the days just fill up and go by? How do we make them count? How do you make every single day count? In Job 7, verse 1, it says, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? I guess you could say that I'm kind of frugal if you know me. Well, you can just imagine how happy I was when this summer, Creighton, our 14-year-old, got a job. I've decided this is the summer that he needs to get a job. And he got one. But it's right out of town, and it's he works at a driving range. And I started figuring this out. It's about a 15-minute drive to get him to work. Okay, well, this is where it kind of gets sticky. 15 minutes out, 15 minutes back. That's about, you know, $5, $6 worth of gas. He only makes $6 an hour. So I'm like, really, Creighton, you need to work at least 2 hours a time for us to even break even. You know, I'm going, it's going to cost us money for him to have a job this summer. Anyway, I started thinking about it, and I'm kind of doing the math in my head, going, gosh, he needs to really make sure he works hard enough to pay our gas money. No, I don't make him pay, but still, in my mind, you know, it kind of all comes into the family a little bit. Well, on my way back from one of these trips, I was listening to the radio station, and there was our Christian radio station, and a man named Rick Grubbs was on, and he was sharing a story, and I looked up some of the information on the internet of the story that he was sharing, and I want to share it with you. There is a hotel room in Switzerland that is truly amazing. I don't know if you've heard about it. The suite, which is accessed by a private elevator, takes up the entire floor of the Starwood Luxury Collection Hotel. It has 4 bedrooms. This is a place, you know, we'll never stay. It has 4 bedrooms, all of which overlook Lake Geneva, with the master bedroom boasting a dressing room and a study. The oval mahogany table in the dining room seats 26 guests. And the living room, which contains a billiards table, a cocktail lounge, and a library, can comfortably hold up to 40 people. This is in a hotel room. All windows and doors to the suite are bulletproof. As of March 2003, the most expensive hotel room in the world was this Imperial Suite at the President Wilson Hotel in Geneva, Switzerland, which can be reserved and paid for by the sum of $33,000 a night. $33,000 a night for a hotel room. Can you just imagine? Who's got that kind of money? And as this speaker was talking on this just couple minutes little thing that he was doing on the radio, he said, how ridiculous to spend $33,000 on a hotel for one night when that same amount could go well towards a down payment on a house that you could live in for a long, long, long time. But then he said, but as Christians, many times we do that. We spend our whole lives working on something that's temporary down here. But this is not where we're really going to be. See, a hotel room is temporary. A hotel room is something you just stay for one night, whereas a down payment on a house is something you can stay in for a long time. Our lives down here on earth are just a moment. This isn't really our eternal home. This isn't where we're going to live forever. But we spend our whole lives investing down here on things for down here, which is like us spending $33,000 on a hotel room. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, because I think it would be foolish to spend $33,000 on a hotel room. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Are these evil days that we live in? Yes. Try and raise teenagers during this day and age. I think it's much harder now than when we were teenagers, and you guys had to raise us. It's hard. I'm sure you did. I'm sure we could have you tell a story or two. How can we redeem the time? We redeem the time by investing in and buying for the future, for the eternal. That's how we redeem the time. Every time you make an investment in the kingdom of God, you're buying for the future. This morning in worship, you know, we could have all gone out to breakfast and eaten a meal, and that would have been investing in the here and now. But you took that same amount of time and we spent it in a worship service this morning, which is an investment in your future, in eternity, in what really lasts. We do live in an evil time. The culture around us shouts at us to spend all of our time and effort on the temporary, on the temporal. You know, it's interesting, in Pullman, which is it's not like here, but I mean, I love it here. I'm like, nobody should get to wake up in the morning and look out at the water like this. This is a vacation place, you know? But it's like, you guys get to live here. It's beautiful. Anyway, in Pullman, there's some really big homes going in, nice, new, huge homes. You know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square feet. And I've never met anyone in our town who could afford to live in one of those houses. So I don't know why there's so many of them going in. But all these homes, and I thought about it, I go, what do people do? What do people do in those homes? They're too big. You just got to spend all your time cleaning them. But it's so temporary. You know, it's so temporary. When you think about a huge, in fact, in one of the nicest loops in town, one of the new developments, in one night, one of the brand new homes that was just finished, the whole thing burnt down. In one night, it's just gone that fast. Yeah, up by Brailsford's, brand new one. Anyway, Jenny's looking at me like, really? The whole house burned down and they had to start over from scratch. And you think about that and go, all the time and the effort and the work that went into building that home, a beautiful home, and it's gone in just a moment. But when we invest in our eternal home, it's something that lasts forever, forever. Temporary or permanent, the title of my message is Time Spent or Time Invested. I mean, we're going to spend our time on this earth. And either we're just going to spend it, or we're going to invest it in something bigger. We're going to invest it in the kingdom of God. We're going to invest it in our future. Temporary or permanent, temporal or eternal, time spent or time invested. What things are temporary? I started thinking about this. What things are temporary? My husband Phil says that a permanent wave should be called a temporary, because it really doesn't last. That's what he thinks. He goes, why do you call it a permanent? Somebody's calling for a permanent. Why do you call it a permanent when it's a temporary? Why don't you call it a temporary? guys, you know, he's like, if it's permanent, you shouldn't have to pay for it again, you know, in about 6 months. So he just doesn't get it. And so I try and explain to him, you know, that actually it is permanent. It breaks down the bonds of the hair. It resets it in a new shape. But, you know, we can't keep the hair from growing out. But he just doesn't understand. He thinks it should be called a temporary. Money, you know, we know the story, I think you all do, of the five, the two, and the one talents, and the other one that starts with 10 talents. You know, I think that money is very, very temporary. I am not a huge fan of the stock market. Every time we put money in it, until just recently, every time we put money in it, we just lost so much money. And years and years and years, I have saved and saved tip money for like 24 years. I save tip money. I save panelists and money. I'm a saver. And I hate putting it in the bank or in the stock market because then it's gone. And when you start saving money by, you know, $2, $5 at a time, it takes a long time for it to add up, but it does over time. So Phil and I have this thing where he's like, why don't you invest that money? And I'm like, because at the end of 5 years, I have more just putting it in my drawer than you have in the stock market, you know? And he's like, he goes, but you know, so I'm kind of the bury your talent person in when it comes to finances. He's trying to get me to invest it so I make more, you know, but I'm like, but at the end of 5 years, I've got more than you do. So he hates the fact that I hide my money, but I do. Because then when our son wrecked our car and I needed a new car, I was able to take cash that I'd saved for 24 years and buy a car. But I did. I paid for the whole thing. Hundreds, 50s, 20s, 10s, 5s, and 1s. And I'm telling you what, the gals, it was like $5,500, which was a lot for me in like small bills. And the gal was like, you know, if this was $10,000, I'd have to have it checked out because we think it was drug money. I'm like, it's not drug money, I promise you. Isn't that funny? But money is very temporary to me. I'm like, it just goes so fast. And believe me, you know, put $20 in your pocket and it won't last for long. It's just gone. It's just gone. Temporary crown. My dad's going to help me explain what a temporary crown is in dentistry. We have a couple dentists here today, don't we? Can you explain this? He's my illustration this morning.
When a lot of the tooth is gone and you can't just put a filling in it anymore because there's not enough tooth left to hold a filling, then you grind away and shape it by removing the circumference in the top. And so you can put on a permanent crown or cap. If it's a posterior tooth, it probably would be gold or porcelain. If it's a front tooth, it would be porcelain or some form of porcelain. It used to be porcelain when I was in practice. These days they use so many different products, I don't even know anymore. Yes, Peter? It shouldn't be called a permanent crown.
Huh? It shouldn't be called a permanent crown. It should be a nicer temporary.
See, that's the difference between my business and hers. People come in and they buy a crown and they expect it to last the rest of their lives. And there's no reason that it should. But people have a different mentality about buying dentistry.
Yeah.
They don't mind buying a permanent every 6 weeks, but they think a crown
not
ought to last.
Weeks.
Huh?
Not 6 weeks, 6 months maybe.
6 months? Oh, well. If I had to put new crowns on somebody every 6 months,
yeah,
let me
trouble.
Tell you. Well, anyway, in the old days, we used to either make these ourselves or send them out to labs to be made. And so you'd have to put a temporary crown on the tooth for 2 weeks. Now it's 3 weeks. I don't know why. Now that we're modernized, it takes 3 weeks instead of 2 weeks. But And so the temporary crowns for back teeth are made out of either, at least we used to make them out of either tin or aluminum. And front teeth would be made out of acrylic. What do they call them? Acrylic, okay. So they looked a little more like a tooth. So it's something that you have to fabricate to protect the tooth and give the person something to chew with, and if it's in front, of course, to look nice or reasonably, acceptably nice for the interim period until the new permanent, really pretty crown comes that fits exactly. So temporary crowns don't fit really well, but they do a protection job. And then when you're done, they just throw them away.
Right.
So they're very transitory.
Right. And a permanent crown, either gold or porcelain, would cost how much?
Well, these days, about $1,000.
$1,000. So it's an expensive little tooth.
When I started, $95.
Wow, that must have been a long time ago. No. Think about it. The temporary crown's only supposed to last a couple weeks. And you're paying all this money. You're paying $1,000 for the procedure to get your permanent crown. your gold or your porcelain crown. Can you imagine somebody saying, I know I've paid my money, but I don't want my permanent crown. I just want this temporary one. I want to hang on to this temporary one. I like this temporary one. Please don't take it away from me. Please don't make me turn it in for a permanent one. I don't want, I know they look pretty, but I don't want that one in my mouth. I don't want the gold. I don't want the porcelain. I want this temporary one. I'm going to polish it up. I'm going to brush it. I'm going to keep it clean, but I want the temporary one. How ridiculous that would be. But isn't that what we do with our lives? We don't want to trade in this temporal life for the eternal. Sometimes we hang on and try and polish up this temporary life as much as we can. When the Lord says, don't put all your treasure here. Put it there. Put it in eternal. Hope for the permanent, not for the temporary. What things are permanent? What are things that are permanent? What can we buy for the future? What will furnish our eternal home? What things can we buy that are an investment in the future? And I want to go through, this is not an extensive list, but it's a few things that we can invest in for our future, for our eternity. Number one, salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2b says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ has given us a perfect gift with the cross, a perfect gift, and now is the day of salvation. And that's something that we can take into our lives now, salvation, that will last for all of eternity. What an awesome investment to just put our pride down and to receive Jesus into our lives for all of eternity. Wisdom. Wisdom's something we can invest in. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom's something that we can invest in now and it will last for all eternity. According to the authors of a controversial new book entitled Time for Life, the average American has more free time today than at any time since 1965. Two time management experts studied the daily routines of Americans over the past 30 years to reach their surprising conclusion, which says that our leisure time has increased almost 5 hours per week in the last three decades. Doesn't feel like it, does it? Knowing that most people feel more rushed today than ever before, the authors say leisure time has actually accelerated rather than slowed the pace of life. Isn't that interesting? On an average, Americans spend 0.9 hours per week, about 54 minutes, on religious activities. 54 minutes. Compare this to 15 hours a week that are spent watching television. Pretty small investment in the future. And honestly, I think that the only reason it comes up 54 minutes on an average is because people like you spend more time there, and other people spend no time there at all. But think about the difference. 15 hours a week spending TV, what is that an investment in? The temporary or the permanent? The very temporary. Whereas when you are in church, you are investing in the eternal, in the permanent. How will we spend our time? Is it worth investing in the kingdom of God? Eternity seems so far away sometimes, doesn't it? So surreal. Is it real? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Today is a gift. What are we going to do with every single day? Are we going to receive this present that the Lord has given? I was talking to Bill this morning, I think, right? And I said, you know, how are you doing? He goes, well, I'm breathing. And I'm like, well, that's a start, you know? I mean, every day is a gift. It's a present from God. What are we going to do with that day? Are we going to invest in the temporary that's just going to be thrown in the trash? That can be burned down, or are we going to invest in the eternal? Another thing that we can buy, gold tried in the fire. Revelation 3:18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. It is the difficult times that we go through that purify us for later. And even as you shared your prayer request this morning, there's difficult times out there. There's difficult times that you're going through. But as you go through those with the Lord, that's gold tried in the fire that he has purified. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Sometimes you have to say that to one another, don't you? Don't lose heart. In the New Living, it says, that is why we never give up. Never give up. Though outwardly we are wasting away, or in the New King James, even though our outward man is perishing, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And even as Pastor Sherry was talking about reading through the Bible in the year, what an awesome way to renew yourself day by day. Let that washing of the Word just go over you. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, that eternal crown that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what we can see, it's temporary, but what is unseen, that's where we need to fix our eyes, on the eternal. Another thing we can get, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy, it says in Romans 14. Another thing we can do is do his commandments. That's one thing. Every time you do his commandments, you are investing in the eternal. Revelation 22:14 says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." The city of heaven. That sounds pretty eternal to me. As we do his commandments, we are giving ourselves away once we've received salvation into the gates. Treasures in heaven. That's another thing you can invest in. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust, especially in the seawater, the salt water, rust, man, you just come over here, I look everywhere, there's rust, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and hang on, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, if we lay it up here, it's just going to be rusted. It's going to be stolen. I had a friend the other day who had her purse stolen out of her car, out of her van, at night, in her garage, in Pullman. I mean, we're not exactly criminal capital of the world. You know, I mean, this is Pullman, Washington. And she had her car in her van, and she's like, gosh, I can't find it. It was there. It's stolen. It's been stolen. So she called, and the guy's like, sure enough, there's a charge on your credit card. And then they said, well, could you check? Well, actually, somebody's using it right now down at Bush, just down at a gas station, but the cops couldn't get there in time. So, boom, her purse is gone out of her garage. You know, I mean, how ridiculous is that? In her van. Won't be doing that again, probably. But the thief destroys. Sometimes, you know, the enemy comes right into our homes and tries to steal things from us. But, you know, he cannot steal that which is eternal. Right. He cannot. So it says in verse 20 and 21, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where you put your treasure, that is where your heart is going to be, where you put your treasure. You know, and you never know what that is, what the laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's just giving of yourself to the kingdom of God. It was interesting. I talked to a gal who walked into a church who said, you know, I walked into this church and I would have stayed there if just one person had come up and said hello to me. And I thought, gosh, how sad is that? You know, this gal walked into a church and thought about staying there, but nobody even said hello. So she turned and walked out. And I thought, we don't realize that even sometimes just a hello to somebody can be laying up treasure in heaven. It can be investing in that person's life to help them through all of eternity. There's a 19th century Polish rabbi, an anonymous writer about an American tourist visit to the 19th century, a Polish rabbi, Hafez Chaim, astonished to see the rabbi's home was only a simple room filled with books, plus a table and a bench. The tourist asked, "Rabbi, where is your furniture?" "Where is yours?" replied the rabbi. "Mine?" asked the puzzled American. "But I'm a visitor here. I'm only passing through." "So am I," said the rabbi. He was laying up for himself treasures in heaven. He saw his life, his time here on earth, just like that American tourist saw his time in another country. He was just a visitor, just a tourist. NIV, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 5, it says, "Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Now it is God who has made for us this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." We have a home in eternity. And these things, doing his commandments, treasures in heaven, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, gold tried in the fire, the hard times we go through, wisdom, salvation. Those are all things that furnish that eternal home that we have. Those are things that we invest into eternity that are going to be there for us. Those are the investments we can make into the permanent. Galatians 6, 7 through 10 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, the temporary, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." God knows the investment you make. As we have there, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, unto them that are of the household of faith, even unto them that are the household of faith. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes it is weary. Do you ever feel like you just do good, and then you're taken advantage of? Sometimes it's easy to feel that way, and it can be wearisome. But that's why God's put us here on earth, is to reach out as much as possible, do good unto all men. That's what you get to do as a Christian. You get to give out to others. And don't be weary in well-doing, because you will reap. You will reap that eternal benefit. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord." See, that's investing in that eternity, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything that you do, whether it's cutting the grass for the house, whether it's reaching out to somebody, greeting, playing an instrument, that is all an investment into the eternal. It's worth it. It's worth it. Give yourselves to the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Temporary or permanent, temporal or eternal, time spent, are we just going to spend time here on earth, or are we going to invest it in the kingdom of God? This is the choice that we get to make today and every day. Will we live for the here and now, or will we make our investment in the eternal? May God bless you as you redeem the time.